Chapter 19. Those are gunshots. They're shooting at the house. She grunted and spat as she dragged him around the corner into the front room, panting, even before her body had the chance to tell her mind she should do so. She devoted her limbs to the task of standing him up, began to pat him down as he flinched away from her touch. Are you okay? Were you hit? Did you say gunshots? Giles asked. Yes. Try to keep up. Sigma!
Yes.
Who's out there? Are they still there?
I saw only one assailant, miss. I do not know if he is still there.
Well, check, can't you? Sound of the door swinging open, more distant firecrackers, and the spang of metal on metal.
He is still out there, miss.
So get out there and stop him.
Negative, miss. There may be more than one. I must not leave Giles on the chance the attacker is attempting to lure me.
The door closed and Dora rolled her eyes. Jesus and Maria, what a moron. Okay, Giles? Giles!
Yes.
We need to get out of here. How fast will your car go?
He blinked at her several times while working moisture into his mouth. He finally asked,
How could this be happening?
She slapped him, not hard at all, but enough to wake him up. He clutched his cheek angrily and said,
Hey! Giles, adapt. You gotta be faster than this, buddy.
He blinked again, then nodded quickly.
It moves fast enough, but it has only self-drive. I can't control it directly or violate the speed limit. We'll be sitting ducks rolling down the street at 5 miles an hour. Shit, Dora muttered. Plus, I left the car in the driveway. I don't imagine we can get to it.
Sigma emerged around the corner of the hallway, and she saw there were several scuff marks along his chest plate.
We must leave. It is not safe here.
Oh, you don't say, Dora grunted. We need to get to that car outside. Can you shoot back at whoever's out there?
I have no firearms, miss.
You what?
The hoplites were disarmed when they were decommissioned, miss.
Well, that's great. What do you have?
Less than lethal armament, miss. Pepper spray and taser.
She looked at Giles, who only shrugged.
Well, we need to get the hell out of here, she said. What's behind this house?
Another house.
Beyond that?
A street, Giles said. More homes. And before you ask, a few more beyond. It goes on like that until you hit the main drag into town.
Okay, okay, she said.
She glanced at Sigma, looked it up and down, and said,
Okay, we'll have to go out the back. We'll get a few streets over, going through yards or whatever, and steal a car.
Christ, Giles coughed.
Relax, it's only temporary. It's just long enough to get to safety. You can make it right with the owner later.
She was interrupted by the sound of the door handle rattling down the hall. Dora and Giles hunched in reflex while Sigma's turret rotated back in that direction.
We need to move our asses, Dora whispered.
Sigma, did you lock the door when you closed it? Giles hissed. The turret did not spin to look at him, but the right arm lifted to present a thumbs up. Dora sighed in relief and whispered,
Thank God for that anyway. Sigma, very quietly, we need to go through the back door. Can you manage that? Do you have some sort of silent mode?
The turret now spun to look at her. Let me go first. There was a beep and a series of clicks that issued from deep within the chassis, and then Sigma was moving toward the rear of the house smoothly and fluidly, the hard pads of its feet squeaking gently over the floor.
Well, now I've seen everything, Dora whispered.
She grabbed Giles's hand and pulled him along. They opened and passed through the door into the small backyard quickly, Sigma ducking under the frame and then standing between them and the house, turret spinning madly in all directions. Dora looked suspiciously at the fence and said,
Will that thing hold our weight if we tried to jump it?
I don't know, Giles said. It's vinyl. Pretty flimsy stuff. There were more gunshots, this time louder as they all stood outside the house.
Caution! Extreme caution! Follow immediately!
Sigma was off like a rocket across the yard, leaving the others to watch its passage. It bent forward as it approached the fence and plowed through to the other side like a bulldozer, blowing fragments of the cheap material in all directions. Dora and Giles both flinched as the barrier was obliterated, then stood for a moment in shock. A moment later, Sigma's turret appeared around the side of the fence's remains, and it said,
Follow immediately!
Dora shook her head hard before shoving Giles forward, and as they ran together across the yard, there were more gunshots. They had an in-between sound, as though they occurred within and without the home. Dora flinched, back muscles twitching, and shoved Giles through the hole. She dived through after, followed by the sound of shattering glass.
We gotta get moving, she urged.
Follow, follow, follow.
Sigma grabbed them both by the front of their shirts, and then its turret and legs rotated all the way around in the other direction. It began to drive forward through this new house's side yard, moving so fast that Giles nearly fell.
Let go! Let go, you fucking tit!
Dora slapped at the metal hand bound up in her shirt, making a dull knock on each impact. Then she saw the approach of a wooden fence on the other end of the yard, and her eyes widened like dinner plates.
Oh, shit. Giles, hands up!
He understood her meaning just in time. They both shielded their faces as Sigma dragged them through the wooden gate. Boards rebounded off their skin, stinging, and she felt the impact of the brick wall against her shoulder like a hammer. Her entire left arm went numb, and she noted angrily how Sigma had moved far enough to the left to spare Giles a similar impact. As it continued to drag them across the front yard and into the street, she began to kick it repeatedly in the ass, having to hop on each kick to keep from falling.
Stop that. You will hurt yourself.
You're gonna kill us if you keep dragging us behind you, you dumb fucking—
Sigma, release us at once, Giles barked.
Sigma's hands snapped open and they almost fell over again. It had nearly been carrying them off the ground. The turret spun back and it said,
I must confirm that you are with—
Another gunshot, followed by a puff on the pavement and the sick whine of a bullet spinning off in a random direction. Lights were beginning to turn on all up and down the street. Dora kicked Sigma in the ass again, shouting,
Get moving, dipshits,
as she rushed past. Giles made to follow her and heard Sigma shout from behind,
Wait, I must go before.
Giles threw an arm and shoved Dora to the side. She yelled back at him in anger, but was interrupted by the giant blur of Sigma driving between them like a wedge, huge feet banging off the pavement like pile drivers. It blew through the next fence in front of them, and Giles gasped,
I think he's figuring it out. Try to keep up.
She scoffed and fell in close behind him as they squeezed through the gap. They trotted through this new backyard, dodging past patio furniture and sidestepping a swimming pool. As they ran, Dora realized she heard someone on the other side of the fence that Sigma was about to blow through. He seemed to be yelling about the neighborhood kids and their damned illegal fireworks.
Sigma, wait!
The hoplite blew through the next fence like a battering ram, and she heard whoever it was on the other side scream. She sighed, gestured at the hole to Giles with a throw of her hand, and as she passed through, yelled to any who would listen,
Get inside your house and lock the doors!
She never knew if they heard or even if anyone had been there to hear. They were running through another jagged opening only a few seconds later. Sigma was halfway across the street when they emerged into the front yard. Dora tightened her lips over a folded tongue and split the air with a whistle. Sigma halted and looked back, appearing somehow agitated for all its lack of expression.
We can't keep at this, she called, darting her head in all directions.
There were lights coming on everywhere now, and they heard people starting to call out to each other.
We've got to get the hell out of here. Someone's going to be killed the way this asshole keeps shooting.
Giles looked up and down the street. There were not very many cars out. Most of them had to be plugged in overnight. Dora seemed to read his mind and asked,
Are there any normal cars?
Giles nodded quickly, still looking around.
Yes, they were grandfathered in. We might be able to find a gasoline car, in fact, though I doubt it. That's fine. All we need is something without self-drive.
I can disable self-drive if required, Sigma suggested.
Giles jerked in the hoplite's direction.
Really?
Yes. Standard safety overrides.
Fine, Dora said.
She pointed at a car some 50 yards away, said,
That one then,
and began to run at it without awaiting an answer. Giles was able to keep pace with Sigma as they ran, or perhaps Sigma only paced Giles, and they arrived at the vehicle just behind Dora. Giles heard another one of those blats from Sigma, and all four of the doors swung open before they reached it. Despite himself, Giles laughed at this and called out,
Hey, maybe he's not so much of a moron after—
He was yanked back again by a tug at his shirt. He opened his mouth to shout at Sigma to knock it off, but Sigma blew right past him toward the car, and that pole was still there, dragging him backward. He looked behind to see the round-faced man, an ugly grimace deforming the thick cheeks and pale gray lips. The face was enormous, like a pale, fleshy moon. Giles made to scream, but the sound died in his throat as a blur of metal shot past the side of his head, impacted the man in the chest, and catapulted him backward 20 feet through the air. Giles realized a second later that Sigma had punched him square in the chest. The man with the round face had grunted when struck, the voice sounding high and feminine, but when he came sliding to a halt in the middle of the street, he He made no further sound, nor did he move. Giles stood there staring at the body in shock, while Dora ran back over to crouch beside it. Sigma walked up to join her, and Giles continued to stare. He was trying very hard to understand the import of what had just happened, and found he could not. "Dead," Dora said simply.
"Yes."
She touched gently over the man's face, and Giles said, "Don't touch him." She looked back and asked, "Why, you think he's contagious?" The question disturbed him more than the body in the road, and he could only look at her. She shook her head in annoyance, stood, and moved toward the car.
"We'd better get the hell out of here before this gets any worse."
Giles looked on the body like a puzzle he could not solve.
"I thought he was wearing a brown jacket, not a black one." "Isn't that weird how the brain confuses things when—"
"Move your ass, Giles!"
"Please, we really must."
He shook himself out of the dream and began to walk toward the car. He heard doors opening and closing along the street. Giles made himself move faster, hoping the owner of the car would not come along to shout at them, and Sigma wedged its bulk into the passenger side of the vehicle. Giles, who had been moving in that direction, adjusted trajectory and got into the driver's side.
"I thought you'd need to be on this side," he said stupidly.
"No. Please fasten your seatbelts. I cannot drive away until you do so."
Giles nodded, said, "Of course," and began to fumble with the belt. He could not seem to find the receptacle, and he realized his hands were shaking hard enough to rattle the pieces of metal together. Dora's hand came around from the back seat, took the belt, and inserted it into the buckle for him.
"Thank you," he muttered.
He felt a pat on his shoulder, and she said,
"You'll be all right."
The car pulled away from the curve slowly. Giles felt like telling Sigma to hurry up, but realized the urgency had been mostly eliminated. Driving fast at this point would only earn them unwanted attention.
"I require a destination, please."
"We must get to the police."
"Hell no!" Dora shouted from the back of the car.
"Dora, we must—"
"No, Giles. We just left a dead body back there. Going to the police is the last thing you do in a situation like this." Giles shook his head in confusion.
"Dora, things aren't like that here. In this country is worse," she spat. "At least where I came from, they were good enough to not pretend. This place pretends. It pretends to be what it is not. In the South, they are good enough to play straight and tell you that the attention of the police is the end of all things."
"That's crazy," Giles laughed. "You can't really believe that."
"Sigma, take us to the police station."
"Don't take us to the police station, Sigma."
"Don't listen to her. The police station, please."
"Take us to a hotel, Sigma. Somewhere dark and quiet where the police stay away."
"Sigma."
"Sigma!"
The turret whipped back and forth between Giles and Dora several times as if it was broken, then froze in place.
"Sigma?" Giles prodded. A new sound issued from its chest. Not a blat or a chime as before. Something like the crackle of static.
Sigma was silent a few seconds more, and then said, "She has a point, Giles."
"What?"
"We will go to a hotel, after which I will monitor the news and police channels for intelligence. We will then decide the best course of action."
"Good," Dora said. 2-1.
Giles looked back at her, then at Sigma.
This is not a fucking vote, Sigma. The police station. I order you to take us to the police station."
"I apologize, Giles. It is a matter of safety. I require more information to assess the situation."
Giles clutched at the sides of his head and gasped, "Sweet Jesus."
"Maybe you're not such an idiot," Dora said.
She thrust her hand up into the front seat between them and asked,
"Listen, Sigma, can you connect to these if no one's driving them? Maybe we can get some information on that nutcase."
Giles looked down at her hand. It was open, and in the palms were a set of lenses and the small black nodes of two bone induction speakers.